Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of An Everyday Goddess. And yes, I am creating an extraordinary life, although some days it seems more challenging. But I promise you, it is more in my head that it's challenging than it is actually the reality. And that's something I want to talk about today. And it's the personality and realizing that the personality is completely separate from the ego. It works within this reality. It is very important to this reality. It is part of the ego's team. You know, I always say that the God is the grand architect and the soul is the contractor. The higher self is a CEO and the soul holds all these contracts, you know, from different life experiences, sacred contracts, soul contracts, karma contracts on all different levels in dimensions throughout time and history. And it is like the holding pattern. And then it sends the spirit as an administrator to communicate with this reality that you're in now, this human experience with the ego. And our ego is really the engineer. You know, it is who is in charge of really trying to decipher the plans as best as it can to the reality that it's in at this moment. And sometimes where the architect wanted to put an outlet, it might not be able to happen. And that is usually due to one of the workers that helps out the ego, and that is our personality. When I used to teach yoga, I used to joke around with my class and say, I play a doctor in the yoga studio. And that was because, you know, studying as much as I have and all the different things that I have from physiology to biology to metaphysics and spirituality, and learning early on that yoga is a moving meditation that is an instrument to help restore the divine plan. It's helped to align the physical body and the mental, emotional, spiritual aspects to the physical experience and create restoration, alignment, healing, whatever is needed. So I always used to say I sound like a doctor, and there used to be a commercial in the 80s where it was a soap opera doctor that was talking about Tylenol, I think. And at the end of the commercial, he would say, "And I play a doctor on TV." And I always thought that was me, even when I was little, because from the time I can remember, my personality was always listening using the five senses, not connected to multisensory yet, using the five senses of the physical experience to input information and grow and the experiences and the creative perceptions. And my perception is and was and still probably is living the secret life as the supermodel in my head. And that supermodel is probably my personality's worst nemesis, because she's critical, she's judgmental, she shames. She might not always be verbal, but she's got a really loud, silent voice. And maybe you don't have a supermodel living in your head, but there's certainly an image living in our heads. And that image was formed at an early on, and it could be what you thought you were going to be, whether it was a veterinarian or a CEO or a garbage man or a pilot, whatever it was. And as we grow, that grows with us, but we might not necessarily always pay attention to that aspect, that personality. And although I joke about the supermodel living in my head, I can remember at a very early age, you know, wrapping a towel around my body after the shower and making it a gown and pretending that I was receiving an Academy Award, or I was walking the red carpet. And although that was not who I would become, it doesn't mean that that's still not me or an aspect living in my head. And it's taken on an energy. And energy is a life form. And, you know, I'm looking around and I hear so much and words like shaming and offloading, judging. And I think, well, let's get some of this into perspective and not shame completely across the board or blame completely across the board one particular thing that has created what we perceive as such an out of balance. I think the perception of the out of balance of energy is because we do have social media. We do communicate faster than we ever did before. And we don't have time to process it. We're far more reactive. Because before you process something, information, there's a new event, challenge, situation being present. So it's hard to kind of navigate these waters and still hold course. But, you know, I'd like to look at body shaming. Let's talk about that for a second. And why, you know, all of a sudden people are so concerned about imaging. And I know myself, I hear it all the time when I do the videos for Primary Aesthetics. And I love everyone. I love everyone's input and I get it. Not everybody is inputting or commenting through educated awareness. They are strictly just being reactive and watching the video and sharing. And that's fine. That's awesome. I don't take it personally. I don't anymore. I know where I am and why I'm doing things. And that's, you know, okay. Everyone is entitled to what they feel. And I'm entitled to not take it personally and tell the supermodel in my head to shut up. But truth be told, a lot of our awareness about our physical appearance is really instinctual. If you look across the board, especially throughout history and throughout different realities, and when I mean different realities, I mean the realities of even animals, instinct of animals, insects, birds, fish. You know, the color of a peacock's plume is extremely important, and how big that peacock can fan out his tails, feathers, and attract his female is important. How he visually looks is important, not only to his species to prevent extinction because he's doing it for mating and survival, but for his own DNA, his own geology, survival of the fittest. You know, it's the same thing with insects. It's the same thing with animals. You know, the lion, who has a pride and multiple female partners. And, you know, it is important that he is the strongest, because if he's not, then his heritage, his lineage will not create more prides and can become extinct. So it is a personal ego existence. And it's also across the board to his species. It's the same thing for humans. If you go and read any text, whether it be religious or art or historical, there is painstaking detail to the physical appearance, both male and female. So a lot of what we experience is an instinct to be physically pleasing to those that we want to attract. But you see, there's the key. We've become so broad, and the personality that has been created through life experience no longer differentiates between what the ego or the soul experience for this human experience is, and starts to connect to other experiences. We start to look and see, is the grass greener on the other side? Ego, according to the Taoist, is what started us to believe that we needed to consume other lives in order to sustain life. early on. And that's not human. It's across the board, even for animals. You know, the idea is that the air did no longer possessed everything that we needed to survive. So we needed to consume other life. You know, I don't want to go back that far. Can't go far back into Homo sapien. I don't remember it, so I don't want to speak to it. I don't study it, so I don't want to speak to it. And even studying time before we have memory of is, again, a perception. And that is where our egos, or these wonderful personalities that are part of our ego, start to take hold in our brain. And that's where judging and shaming and confusion, not only to the outside world, but truly to ourselves. We are probably more harmful to ourselves than we are to others. We immediately become reactive to things we hear, and we start shaming ourselves first. Why do I feel like that? They're saying that because they don't think I'm worthy. They're saying that because they don't think I can do the jobs. This is happening because God's punishing me. Really? No. You're punishing yourself. So part of this human experience is to really truly merge the personality to the ego, and then the ego to the soul, and then all the way up through to higher self and God consciousness, creating enlightenment. But right now, I think awareness, mindfulness, and awakening are what we should all be really striving for. And getting not to dislike the personality, but into embrace it. Just like you have to embrace the ego as really it's just doing its job for this human experience. You know, it really is in place. It really does believe it was supposed to protect the spirit, because the spirit is something we cannot see. It's very much like oxygen. You know, like why we protect our lungs with a rib cage, because it breathes in and out in the heart and a lot of our major organs underneath our rib cage, because it needs to be protected. They need to be protected so we could have life functions, human functions, breathing, heart beating, digestion. So there's a reason for a lot of the things that we're experiencing. I just really truly feel that the communication is so strange, and it really is, because it's just so fast and we're just not used to being able to communicate so or process so much information so quickly and then make beneficial strategies and then communicate or take action, because it's hitting us so fast. And truthfully, each generation that's being born is being born already programmed to the energy frequency being higher and being faster and being fierce, truthfully. And that's the communication breakdown through generations. And we're seeing so many of our young really struggling because they really don't have the history like we do in our certain generations to look back upon. They're actually creating it. They're creating the history for the next generation. So if you start looking at the age group starting that were born somewhere around the mid 70s all the way up, it's a challenge to process all this information and still have a developing brain that has to receive information to formulate and then take beneficial strategies. Now, my supermodel living in my head has, you know, taken a few hits. She's got a few bruises, a couple of black eyes, but she does get back up. She is very much like the man in the arena, the Theodore Roosevelt speech that Brené Brown, the writer of Daring Greatly and the new book Rising Strong, references often. This amazing speech, this quote within a speech, it's a long quote, it's actually a paragraph or two long, about just getting in the arena and doing your best. And yeah, it's a struggle. And yeah, you might fall. And yeah, you might feel like you don't want to get back up, but you do get back up. And it's that person with the, you know, the dirt on their face that's marred by battle, that rises strong, that stands up and keeps on going. It's through that vulnerability to surrender and say, yeah, you know what? Today might not have been in my day, but I'm going to go home and recoup, and I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to try again. And the speech talks about the critic, but I truly believe he's not talking about the critics outside, but the critic in our own head. The critic that is not giving constructive criticism. Criticism was never really meant to be hurtful. Critiquing was really meant to be beneficial and for us to look at things together and say, as a team, as a collective consciousness, what do we need to do to make this more beneficial and work across the board? Unfortunately, critiquing and criticism became something negative when it truly was meant to be something positive. Very much like the term gold digging. You know, a gold digger can have something very negative, a very negative undertone. But truthfully, gold digging wasn't bad. If you were a gold digger, you were looking for gold in the mountains. You were prospecting. There was nothing wrong with that. You were seeking an opportunity, which I guess made you an opportunist. However, the opportunity was usually collective. It was through the personality and its perception of lack or having things taken away from them and not fully understanding because it got riddled with fear that created anxiety, that it was unable to use the five senses to process that we were a team, that it takes a team to go dig for gold. And that when someone perceives lack, they might steal someone else's gold. And the person they stole it from feels slighted and then starts judging and shaming themselves and the other. You know, and there's a protective element, and there are things that we can put in place that are to help prevent certain things. But again, that is an effort that is collective and collaborative. And it's the personality and not necessarily the ego that prevents us from doing that. It's really, truly the personality that has the free will. The ego is just trying to manage the free will, the personality, the spirit, the experiences, the five senses, bodily functions and thinking. You know, that engineer has got a lot going on. The ego's plate is busy. The personality is wonderful because it's really malleable. It will mold. It can take shape. It because it's invisible, because it's an energy, very much like the air we breathe, very much like our spirit, very much like water, you know, or very much like gravity. You don't necessarily see it, but you know it exists because you're here on Earth, or you could see a leaf or an apple fall from a tree. We know there's air or oxygen because we're breathing and we need it and we speak with it. We know thoughts, although we can't tangibly touch them. We think them, we can visualize. So the personality is kind of very much like the spirit. It can come corrupted and contaminated, yet it can be restored. It does adapt and adjust to its situations. It will take on different masks throughout the day. Mother, sister, brother, father, boss, employee, doctor, nurse, dog, walker, lover, rescue, you name it, carpool driver, grocery shopper. A lot of different masks that go on during the course of the day. So it can be free and it can be restored and you can adjust it. And you can help it process through shame, and it can work through judgment and to see things more beneficial and to take away negative incantations or negative perceptions. by embracing them and absorbing them in fully. And that is mindfulness. And I talked about mindfulness in one of the other podcasts, one of the other episodes, and this mindfulness is truly that it's not just us looking around outside and saying, oh, it's a beautiful day. The sky is perceivably blue. The trees have green leaves. It must be summer. But mindfulness means, what am I experiencing at this moment as I look outside? Am I personality, my supermodel in my head, really not looking outside and saying it's summer, but saying, oh my God, my hair is going to frizz. I better really go put it more moisturizer in my hair, or I better pull it back, or I better change my clothes. It's humid outside. That's the mindfulness, the chatter in your head. And then being able to take control of it before it takes control of us. So, you know, there's so many levels of awareness to what we experience here in this human form, in this reality. And I do say this reality because there are alternative realities. There are the realities that yet have played out and that can play out that are more beneficial because they are seed thoughts that have taken life in front of you. It's just, which path do you choose? If I choose the path that my supermodel in my head is like, oh my God, we're going to have frizzy hair, I'll probably delay myself more. And the reality I will pick will be to be late and be frustrated and filled with anxiety. Or I can absorb that personality, grab my rubber band, and come back to the mindful awareness that I'm getting ready to go to work and I need to adjust and not shame myself. So the image is that we see physically really are through the personality, and you shouldn't shame yourself on them. You shouldn't feel bad. If going to the gym 7 days a week makes you happy and you feel good, then that's great. You know, there's a reason why we want to feel healthy. And that is the more important aspect of it than really truly the, you know, imaging. And when you do get into the imaging, you have to really sit with the personality and become mindful. And what are you visually seeing in the reflection back? And what is it that you truly resonate with your image? And realize that part of this is instinctual. It's in your DNA. It's in the physical human DNA that is being created through heritage. So bodies look a certain way through geology, through heritage, through DNA, through chromosomes. As is your spirit, part of your soul contract. And the soul has soul DNA that is shared from the higher self. And my DNA is really a lot different than everybody else's. And it's okay if my DNA isn't attractive to someone else. That's where we truly need to become mindful and embrace and have the honest conversations, the vulnerable conversations, the awkward conversations with your personality, and to breathe through certain events and not be reactive and come back to that idea of true self. And it's not to harm others or to say, ha, 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 I feel this way now. And that's not it. This is truly about the experience that you are creating and having individually. And it's that breath that you take that you count those 10 seconds to really allow yourself to let the personality merge and to feel safe and secure, and then move forward. So we don't have offloading of emotions. We do not have what Brené Brown calls chandeliering, where people explode for no reasons, or we perceive no reasons. Meanwhile, they've been holding on to everything and their personality is finally at its wit's end. Instead of processing and really becoming more strategic, it just explodes at the slightest thing and offloads energy, and everyone around that being is now afraid because the energy has become toxic, and everyone starts to walk on eggshells, and their personalities then create resentment and bitterness. So this podcast is really truthfully asking that you become more mindful of you, your ego, your personality. You talk about fractured personalities, right? You know, it truly is like, oh my God, they seem like two different people. Well, yeah, they're doing two different things sometimes. Maybe you're seeing somebody in work mode and they compartmentalize, and that's how they get through their day. They have work mode, mom mode, friend mode, sister mode. And if they're in work mode, maybe they don't want to text or communicate and socialize. But when they're out of work mode and they're in friend mode, they're chatty Cathys, and not judging or shaming them for that, or judging or shaming yourself for that, or assuming that a friendship isn't really a friendship, or a partnership really isn't a partnership, because each individual is working through where they are, and we're multitasking through becoming multi-sensory beings. So cut each other slack and cut yourself slack. Be honest. And in order to have that transparency and that authentic energy, you need to be vulnerable. And vulnerable does not mean weak, and it does not mean become afraid. It means being vulnerable means being open to all the possibilities, all the realities. And truly having to embrace sometimes that maybe the realities that are being present aren't aligned with the reality that you are hoping for in your emotional story with your personality. And are you in a position to truly adjust or not? And that's okay. That's where we are. So, the supermodel in my head and I are going to close this podcast down with just those things to ponder upon, to take a moment when you are home and just close your eyes and just become present with what you're experiencing, to allow all the outside distractions to dissipate, and to really connect to what you're experiencing. And I promise you, you'll hear that voice. Whatever personality is living in your head, you will hear it. And that's where you can really align it, because that's all it's asking. It's really just reactive through fear and anxiety, because it's disconnected by not being able to be present to see all the insights and information that is being given in any one moment, for it to sequentially link it together so things do not seem random. It's just giving the information fully, and then you can move authentically with strength and courage. So just ponder upon that. Just sit and see where this personality or the personalities have, you know, run amok and they need a timeout, or they need tender loving care, or they need information, and allow that energy to just become one with the ego And to really be able to step back and say, wait a second, my personality is just reacting from fear and not reality. So I hope this benefits and serves and helps in any way. That is the really truthfully what I'm hoping for this podcast and all my podcasts and all the episodes is just to really bring what spiritualism is into this human existence, this human experience mainstream with words and dialogue and communication that we understand. That isn't, you know, some Sanskrit sacred text that I still don't get. I promise you. Make it easy to apply and approachable. And that it's not some elitist thing, that being mindful, awake, and aware is only for some guru that's hanging out in a cage or a cave. Sorry, I do feel like a cage. Cave, you know, meditating for 1,000 years and only being able to get their nutrients through the air. That is the belief of someone else, not me. So with that, I love you all. Thank you for joining me on this episode. I hope that you have a fabulous everything and take a minute to be mindful. And yeah, if something is poking at you and anything in this podcast made you feel uncomfortable or made you think you want to turn it off and say, screw you, Bianca, good. That's probably something that you might need to sit with for a moment. And if everything was easy breezy and you were like, that was awesome. Awesome. Great. Thank you. But I still need you to sit and ponder upon something because we don't want to fool ourselves either. All right, guys. Love you. Namaste.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app. Free for iOS and Android.